Welcome to This Commerce Life. We are an unscripted podcast dedicated to small businesses and entrepreneurs in the retail and consumer packaged goods space in Canada and the United States.
I'm Phil Chang, co-host and co-founder.
And I'm Kenny Benici, co-host and co-founder of This Commerce Life.
Our love is the journey to retail, and our passion is sharing that with you every week.
Hi guys, Phil here. Putting out an audio-only episode this week. This is from our live podcast that we did at CHFA East this past weekend. You can hear it from my voice. I wound up getting sick at the show, so I sound a little funny. But just wanted to call it out that it's a live ahead of time. It's going to be a little crackly. You're going to hear, you know, some of the folks kind of like fade in and out, and then you hear actually quite a few voices in the background because we had an audience in the room who interacted with us and spent, you know, quite a bit of quality time with us, which we really appreciated. So I just wanted to call that out early because this is it's a live podcast, so you'll hear a marked difference in the production quality. Wanted to, one, say our appreciation for CHFA and Aaron Skelton and Lindsay Walker in particular and their crew for giving us a chance to podcast live. And then, you know, you're going to hear some wonderful voices on here. Bruce Singer is on here. Kyle Marsham. I just want to say that and I'll call it when we get there, but Kyle Marsham's portion is edited because the mic he was using wasn't working at the time. So we moved him. But you'll get a chance to hear his full story coming up in the next coming weeks. But Kyle Marsham is on here. Our friend Sasha, who runs Poco Chips, comes on. And then finally, Kelsey Riedel, who is another Canadian retail podcast OG podcast host, comes on at the end. So just some wonderful guests that were all live and impromptu, and you know us, not very prepared. So anyway, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Apologize in advance for you know, kind of the voices and the consistency.
That's awesome.
Yeah, can I get a picture? I'll do a selfie with you guys. All right.
Yeah.
Really?
Of course.
Wow.
Nobody ever asked us that.
Yeah, even my kids don't. Even my kids don't want selfies with me.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
No worries. Thanks.
You want to take a selfie?
Yeah.
Sure. That's kind of worrisome. No, that's all good. I guess. Sure. Why not? By the way, don't do a landscape.
You got me. That's good enough.
Well, that's probably better than me.
Flip it to the other.
Do a landscape.
It'll be fine. Yes.
Well, you have to get credit. You have to get credit for the photo shoot, right?
Important.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
take one with you.
You're
not forgot.
Probably start, right?
I don't know. What time is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we should go.
It's fun. Yeah, poor Kelly. Poor Kelly is coming after us. Let's do it.
Awesome.
Yes.
It's all good. Does this work?
So welcome to This Commerce Life. We're recording live from CHFA, and this is weird for us because we're doing it live. There are people in the room.
I don't usually have people looking at. My family doesn't even pay attention to what I'm doing. Never mind. The people I don't know.
Wives don't listen.
No. My mom listens.
Your mom listens.
My mom listens.
Yeah.
My mom actually listens when she works out or when she works out. My mom does a treadmill or bicycle or whatever my mom does. So, it's pretty cool.
And then now we've gotten a bunch of selfies, so that's kind of cool.
Never had selfies before either. Seriously, I think I've done the 3 selfies in my life.
Yeah.
That's about the extent of my selfie world. So
we have some topics we're going to talk about, but we actually have people in the room. You guys want to come up, say hello? We have extra mics.
There's mics. If you do want to, we're serious. If you do want to talk, you can definitely talk.
Come up, Bruce.
Because otherwise, we'll just talk.
Come and say hello. Yeah. Grab a mic.
We're the first one.
Come up and say hello.
You're third.
Okay, So we got Bruce is recording already. Yeah. So
grab a seat. Okay. Grab a seat.
So we got Bruce here. Bruce is going to jump in and say hello. Tell us what you do and
who are you?
Good.
I'm Bruce Singer. I own a company called Canada CFOs, and we place CFOs on an interim basis, contract basis, part-time basis, and our focus is food companies, wellness companies, health companies, CPG, and that sort of space. And I think Phil and his partner are amazing.
They're awesome. Thank you.
They're awesome. They're awesome. Marketing people, they're fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So you place like a fractional CFOs?
Exactly,
or?
Fractional CFO.
And are we talking like short-term contracts, like a couple weeks to a year, over the place?
It could be. It's all over the place because who knows what's going to come up, the need's going to come up. The overall theme is to put in a fractional CFO as an interim solution until the company grows.
Yeah. That's an awesome idea.
That you need a full-time CFO.
Yeah.
That's the overall game plan. And then the fractional CFO moves on and hires the full-time.
So you're in the space. What do you see? Are you seeing kind of trends happen?
Exactly. There are several types of trends. First, I'll talk about what I see in finance.
Yeah.
Is fundraising.
Yeah.
That seems to be, everybody calls me. That's happened now for the last 6 weeks. Make sure you send me someone that's raised money. So there seems to be a really big trend on.
But it's a tough time to be raising money. Like nobody's putting out cash right now.
I get
right?
it. Like, that's what the clients want. You know, in terms of what they're calling me on is fundraising and the usual stuff. Some of them are just in a position where they've gone to that point that they need to know what's going on. Like, for example, and I've had this happen where clients, they come back, hey, I just got a $1 million deal from Walmart. Okay, sounds great. But when the CFO went in there and analyzed it, it cost them $1.2 million.
Wrong
cost.
That
really blows up. Yeah. The other trend I'm seeing.
Sometimes Kenny and I, we might call you so you can go deliver that news because sometimes we see that too.
They spike their anyways, and sometimes the cost is so small it could be just a few hours a month. Like, but again, it's having a conversation. The other trend I'm seeing, not finance, is pet food. And non-alcoholic drinks tend to be where a lot of action is right now too. Pet food, there's a lot going on in pet food.
Yeah, that makes
there's
sense.
There's a lot going on in pet food right now. Where's the chatter? There's
pet is like an enormous industry, right? Like, it's growing year over year. It's growing faster than any other category, right?
It's unbelievable. CBD. Yeah. It's just a very fast.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting a lot of bites.
Are you getting people who are worried about like people that need, like, do you help a lot of brands with how to kind of protect themselves as things slow down, as costs of goods go up? Kenny and I are seeing that a lot. We seem to help a lot of people with that stuff. So just curious if you're seeing that as well.
I'm seeing that. Even when it's not a tough time, it's amazing when you have somebody that can go in from a different point of view and start taking out not just costs, taking out making things more efficient. And it's incredible when you add up the little dollars. Yeah. And somebody like a $20 million company could actually be $1 million of inefficient because someone else came in with a different point of view.
Right.
You know? Or you set yourself up for the next wave. You know, it's to be efficient. But a lot of times, just the owner, and again, it depends what stage you're in. We don't know. Like you marketing too. Companies, the people don't know what they don't know.
Well, I think that's sort of what I was going to get at. So we do this podcast, I think mostly because we just like to talk. I mean, we talk enough at
it's
home.
True,
and
actually.
We just like, we enjoy talking. Probably enjoy hearing ourselves' voices. One of the things that we do on the side is we also do sort of a fractional CEO, CMO type of play, right? And I'm curious to see, like, in your world, like, I know who we're getting. We do get a lot of smaller companies. I think with us, though, I guess where I'm trying to lead this is, I think that a lot of small businesses really don't know what they need because they just don't know what they don't know, sort of what we talked about. I don't think a lot of them understand what a COO is. So when they hear that, if they go look it up, that's $175 to $225 a year. So right away, they're freaked out. I think they hit CFO, they're probably even more freaked out than COO if they even know what the CFO sort of is. Like, they get the financial officer, but what does that entail? Like, that sounds like I need to be $100 million in sales, not $2 million in sales, right?
100%.
So how are you finding how do you message to get people to sort of understand so they'll actually even engage with you? Because that's what I'm finding where in my head, I think that's fundamentally yeah. where we have sort of a yeah. problem is trying to
okay.
bridge
okay.
the understanding. That was long-winded.
No, answer that. I hope I answered the question properly. I answer it two ways. First, there's something called a sweet spot client. Okay, I know intuitively, doing this for 30 years, I know intuitively what client is going to need a fractional CFO.
Right.
It might, but in terms of this development, it tends not to be a 1 or 2 man, 3 man operation, but it could be. So I just know, I look and I see 25 people, I get a sense.
Right.
And I can mm-hmm. tell they're the ones that are a little more open because they're having issues. Mm-hmm. You know, so I deal with a sweet spot client. The other thing too I've learned, this is marketing 101, it's called a low point of entry. Okay.
Right.
You know the low point of entry?
Right.
You say to them, look, you don't blow their brains out. You say, look, let's start something small, like a one-day yep. or two-day yep. assignment, and see what's really going on.
Yep.
And sometimes they only need somebody 1 or 2 days a week. It's bringing along slowly. But again, I think the main thing is it's a sweet spot client.
I like that. I like that part. I should write that down because I like that part of it because I think there's – that's sort of the trick to do.
And I'm very close to bringing Phil in as my fractional CMO because I don't know what I don't know.
Right.
I'm a finance guy. I'm clueless.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but that's another thing that I think people need to do better job understanding is you need to understand your own limitations. And that's 100%. What one thing we find is like when you talk to a lot of businesses in that, let's say, 1 to 20 people, right, where you're running around scattered and you really don't get a chance to know what you don't know because you're just trying to stay afloat. You're just trying to pay the next bill.
Well, right? Look at the trends today. There's so much pressure, inflation, and costs and margins. That's another trend, by the way, where the problem is.
Yeah. You know?
And but then you need even more. It's just the way it is.
It's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's a tough time. Yeah. It's a good time to do a lot of things, though. Like there's a lot of opportunity.
But it's got to come down to return on investment. They need to see the return on the investment.
Yeah.
Not just issuing another check.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what it comes down to. It's got to be a return. And you got to explain it. Anyway, you know, it's just sweet spot client.
I like the sweet spot client. That's pretty poignant. It's easy peasy. Even I get that.
Okay. Well, I'm done.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. Thank you. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, number one.
No, it's good. You gave us an idea of maybe how to change our world a little bit.
Thank you so much.
One of you two guys want to come up? One in, man. Jump in.
Is this kind of weird doing it in a room with people?
It's weird.
It really is.
Well, normally we do Zoom, right? So there's nobody.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it's...
And I'm honest. Like, when I say my family ignores me on this, like, my family completely ignores me. Only my mom listens to the podcast.
Well, my wife wants the t-shirt. So when I put on the t-shirt, she's like, where's
my... I don't even... My wife cares about that.
You don't even... Yeah.
She listened to one episode because she liked the guest because she knew him.
Was it Fardad?
And that was it. Fardad. And that was it. That was the last time I think she listened to the podcast.
It's one of my favorite podcasts right now.
Thanks, that was nice. Thank you. I appreciate that. So let people know who you are.
Yeah, I know Kyle Marsham.
So this next portion is Kyle Marsham. He did an intro, and he actually has a really quite a nice family backstory, but we unfortunately didn't realize that it didn't catch. It was he was going into a dead mic, so it's just too faded for me to recover here. But the voice you're going to hear is Kyle Marsham and him catching us up on kind of his career or his career aspirations before he went full retail. But Kyle's coming up on the podcast in a few weeks as well, so you'll get to hear his whole story. Okay, here's Kyle.
Got a acceptance into the UK, and then just, you know, looked at how much it was going to cost and talked to some lawyer friends. I'm like, I don't want to be a lawyer, I don't think. Right? This is crazy. I'm going to be in debt. I'm going to do this and do that. I don't want to live in the UK. So, and then my dad's like, well, why don't you? There's an opening for a key account manager at Whole Foods because this is at Monica Walker, who's now the head buyer at Healthy Planet, was managing Whole Foods at the time, and she was leaving to explore another opportunity, and that we needed a gap. It was either hire someone or let Monica train Kyle. Right now, I was doing some MCB deductions in the background, mm-hmm. so I knew a little bit about how to plan and how to, you know, manage a client to a certain degree, manage a customer to a certain degree. So then she trained me, mentored me for about 6 months. And then I remember walking into my first category review meeting, Rob Luscombe, who was the buyer at the time, and I'm pitching him, so nervous. Monica's like, you better not wear jeans. So I had like, you know, weird dress pants on, like going into Whole Foods. And if anyone's been to the Whole Foods, it's in like a house, right, in the Ontario buying. And then, you know, I remember calling my dad after that one as well. And I'm like, I think I just got everything listed. But, that's, you know, awesome. eight months that's later amazing. And only half the stuff got listed, but I had some energy like going in, right? So, and then now I'm, you know, I started managing Longos and then e-commerce and all that. But yeah, I've loved it since day one.
It's awesome.
That's cool though. Like, it's cool that she took the family.
Yeah.
Then you just like keep it going. It's I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. I like when the family, like the family business sort of play to it. That's awesome.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, family dinners, whatever it is we're talking about, new brand opportunities or, you know, meetings that are coming up. We're trying to collaborate how to get more retailers in the building or whatever.
Right? So what are you finding this year? So don't forget, I know the standard question is always, pre-pandemic and, you know, whatever. Let's go to this year alone, like 2022. What's been the changes even from Jan 1 till now? What are you seeing? What are the pain points? Or maybe what are some of the points that have come up as a challenge then and now an opportunity or whatever you want to call it?
Price increases.
If I hear the daily price increases.
Daily price increases, second price increase, third price increase, just managing it.
That was February.
And it's managing expectations.
Yeah, it's
control. The retailer is getting more than what I'm sending to them, right? And understanding that relationship, right? You can't be bombarding them with request after request after request. Like, we're only human, right? So it's kind of dealing with that. And then COVID was a blessing to a certain degree, right? It let us focus internally. And like look at, because we had more time, we weren't traveling to the office, it wasn't as fast paced.
Yeah.
So we actually fixed the business, right? It's like, okay, how do we adopt more automation into it? How do we fill some of those gaps in CRMs or data, right? We've scaled up our data team because it seemed like COVID happened and then everyone wanted more data in Canada, especially in our industry. So kind of just, but today, I'd be just managing expectations. There's so much going on. It's like you put a price increase and that brand's got supply chain issues, and then
or both,
you know, that retailer's upset because there's no product on the shelf, so you got to find her a solution or him a solution, or it's just a juggling act. But you just do your best, and remember, at the end of the day, we're only selling food and we're all humans, at the end of the day, right? So,
that usually sounds good,
it's very
doesn't
wise.
Necessarily play out well, but it definitely
try your best.
You try your best,
it's fun, fun seeing people in person, too, right? Some people are, you know, you can be very straightforward over emails or on the phone or whatever. And then you see them, you have a drink, and it's just like, oh, you know, this is kind of fun again.
I think that's the part that maybe got sort of left behind is that you do forget that everybody's trying to do is just feed a family. That's pretty much, you know, that's what you do work for in a lot of ways. I mean, I love this industry. I love what I do. But, you know, it pays bills. It helps feed the family.
Yeah.
And everybody, the person on the other side, is just trying to do the exact same thing.
Exactly.
And it's been a challenging year for that because, you know, you're saying price increase 1, 2, and 3. Well, that was by February, right? I mean, we're now into September. Like, you're on some iterations. You're on your 5th or 6th price increase. And that doesn't mean that you've passed them along because I play both sides, right?
Yeah.
I play the retail side. I play the distributor side. I own some brands. So, like, I'm, like, top to bottom. I play it. And every week there's something gone sideways. Can't find a container. Can't get a container. Container was 15,000. Now it's 18,000, right? Mm-hmm. Price increase. I just had a price increase. Well, it's a new price increase. Well, I haven't even dealt with the old. The old one hasn't even hit yet, and I'm dealing with the next one. Like, it's just like every minute there seems to be something new. Can't find staff.
Yeah, that's another huge issue.
Like in the stores, et cetera, they can't get a cashier. So you see a lot of management. Like in the old days, in the old days, you just did what you did.
Yeah,
that's how we did it.
Yeah.
You don't want to sound like the old days were better, but you just hopped on. Like, you hopped on cash, no matter what you were. And today, there's nobody to hop on, right? So lineups in stores have gotten ugly again.
Yeah, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know if it gets better or gets worse short term.
Or have to do things differently, I guess.
Well, you got to adapt. You got to adapt. Yeah. I listened to the keynote this morning.
That was good this morning.
And he was just, it's like there's challenges in life, and it's, you know, new things happen, innovation happens. It's adapt and, you know, keep moving forward.
Don't be
scared about it.
Yeah. He was good. That was good for that, for sure. For sure.
You're doing some work with Sasha now?
Yeah. Yeah. We met over LinkedIn, right? And then I tried the product. I was like, damn, this is good. Poco, if anyone's out there.
Yeah, highly addictive. Yeah,
you know, we're slowly growing, but Poco is a rice and chickpea with a very, very secret ingredient, asafoetida, and it's it adds a unique spice that I've fallen in love with. And then, yeah, we just started becoming good friends, and good friends, good business.
Yeah,
and,
that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's exciting. Yeah, that's exciting.
Well, it's nice to see him doing well, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Come up here.
We'll
share a mic. That last mic isn't working, but come up here.
You want me to jump down?
Sure.
It's up to you.
Thank you.
Nice call.
Yeah, thank you.
What's going on, guys? I'm not, so you and I met because you reached out on LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember what the hell
I think
doing.
You're... was it to come on the podcast?
Yeah, I think you were being very forward and forceful, and you wanted to be a guest. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't forceful, but you know, I've only been on one podcast, which is yours.
Oh, really?
This is my second. Yeah.
Oh, you were good on the podcast. I enjoyed talking to you. You were.
I don't know, but you know, I'm actually a shy person.
Really?
Yeah.
So you come on a podcast in a room with people?
Well, you just threw me up here. So wow.
Yeah,
here.
We just dragged you up here. So.
Wow, really? I didn't get out of my seat. You seem like you're pretty good. You walked it pretty fast.
Yeah. Why no choice?
Yeah.
No, so tell us how Poco's doing.
Tell us what it is first.
Yeah.
So Poco is a rice and chickpea chip. I like to say Fritos, but better for you. With spices infused from Asia, South Asia. So we have our unique flavor comes from, as Kyle said, something called asafoetida. That's fine. It's in the ingredient deck. It's a flavor-enhancing spice, which is a substitute for garlic and onion for people that can't have, you know, it's a low on the FODMAP. And it smells like the actual spice. It's from an herb from the mountains of Iran and Afghanistan. It's actually, Caesar called it the poor man's spice before, what's it called, Sisal? Mm-hmm. There was a spice they used to use. But anyways, asafoetida goes way back. I read about the history.
Huh.
It's really interesting. But anyways, it enhances the flavor, but is also its health benefits now are like, I like to say it's turmeric on steroids. I really do think it's going to become, you know, when people came by the CHFA, West Show, and Unify Show, they're like, you know, people from Asia are like, oh yeah, I know. They call it Hing back at home. But a lot more people are getting educated about it, and there's some research studies on it, and it's just, you know, good for, it's an anti-carcinogen, good for memory, good for, like, I mean, I could, the list goes on.
Yeah.
But I like to say turmeric on steroids.
Really?
Yeah, so, I mean, its health benefits are incredible.
Okay.
Super
tasty. How's Poco doing?
Poco's doing well. I mean, so I'm with the Unify's Up Next program, so I'm growing at my own pace with the cash I have, working with the Martian team, which has been incredible, and Green Fresh. We're in 12 accounts, and our same store velocities through the roof.
Wow.
But like slow but surely.
Yeah.
Death, not worth it. Go deep, not wide, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, been listening to a lot too. You know James Richardson?
Yeah.
Yeah, so read his book. I'm on the fifth time I'm reading his book. I really call it the Bible.
Okay.
Just read. I'm in no rush. I mean, I work a full time job and I have a 15-month-old son, so juggling all three is kind of a challenge.
Baby people, steps.
People say, oh, you need to quit. I don't need to quit yet. Sorry. Eventually, I'm gonna need that leap, right?
Right.
Like I have like a strong sales team. I delegate. I contract out. But yeah, I mean, I just work much later, and I work a lot harder, and it's not been easy at times. Like, you know, mental health's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I just grew up my own pace, and so again, working with a broker that's not pressuring you to grow as fast, you know, not having investor money. That is, you know, VC per se.
Right.
Not pushing you to grow as fast as, you know, I kind of put the boundaries down. And if, you know, obviously a very infancy stage, but if people were believing the product, this up, I had my terms. And so it's been like, you know, a win-win for everyone so far.
So how did you connect? Not because you're in the room, not because I'm going to give you a plug, but it's really tough for a small brand to get a national broker.
So I did.
It's hard enough to get a regional broker, right? National brokers typically are talking retainers because you guys don't, I'm looking at Kyle, like you guys don't need to be running around the country trying to, in essence, do the marketing, do the, like you got a lot of, if the brand's small, they don't have the money necessarily. It's a tough gig, right? I mean, it's not, buyers aren't just lining up saying, oh my God, I'll take it. It's another new thing. You know, that's a tough gig to be in. I mean, so compliments to you guys for doing that, because that's not done as much as it used to be done. But how did you find them, and how did you get them excited about taking you on?
So back in March 2021, I launched. I was working in the commercial kitchen, and then I started doing D2C, selling at certain breweries. And at those breweries, we had, like, we were selling faster than Covered Bridge. And so, like, you know, I showed results after 8 months.
Right.
And then I met Kyle. I reached out in September 2021. And then Kyle's like, wow, these are incredible results. And I said, you know, let me see how this product does first before I go approach anyone, right? So I did about 8 months of a trial, like market fit. Mm-hmm. And I had a Hollywood partner actor reach out and like, hey, I'll do a free partnership with you. Like random shit like that was happening.
Really?
Yeah, actually, we're planning to do one, to do it in like after TIP is done, at least in Toronto. So I had like random things happen and just putting myself out there really, mm-hmm. just like that. And then, you know, company care packages, real estate brokerage firms ordering it. So I had like all these results, and then I was telling Kyle, and you know, I think Kyle is future looking in terms of, you know, we got along, but he's like, I think this has potential. Mm-hmm. And I told him I need a strong broker, like a sales team to help me. I don't know anything about this. I don't know anything.
Right.
I just know how to make my product at the commercial kitchen level. But yeah, and then like fast forward January, we came to an agreement, and yeah, the rest is history.
Wow.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually, no way you don't know is wise beyond your years. Well, because
are you kidding me? I don't know anything.
Some other people in the room would tell us we have a lot of people that are a lot older and don't really, still haven't figured out what they don't know and assume that they know more than they actually do. So good on you. That's huge.
I mean, I'm a realist. I'm also like,
good, man.
Putting that time and energy and, you know, money, and it's, fuck, I'm not going to say I know anything.
It's a tough gig, right?
Yeah, but I honestly, like, may sound like I have no ego. Like, I will say I don't know what I know.
That's good, man.
But I'll be firm with my decisions and how I research based on data.
Just keep making it.
Yeah,
I got it covered full of it, and I like it.
So. It's highly addictive.
I know.
But it's really tasty. Yeah, it's really tasty.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be on Sunday. We have a guy outside. It's a sampling station, so he'll be giving out like 1,000 bags. So
wow.
Anyone walking into the Enercare Center on Sunday,
okay,
you'll see someone there before it runs out. And then if he runs out, just come by my booth and give you some bags.
Good for you.
Awesome.
Good for you.
We're glad you came back up here.
Yeah,
no, I appreciate it.
Super happy to have you. Good. I'm happy you're doing well too. That's pretty cool. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Keep plugging. Just keep plugging. Yeah.
Man.
Anybody else want to come up and chat? Let us know what you do, why you do what you do.
Kelly, you want to come up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly's actually running the next podcast after us. But it'd be cool.
With Midday Squares.
Oh, no, which one of them do you have on?
All three? Yeah. So I hope everybody can stay.
Oh my God, that's way too much energy.
This is going to be a full house.
Way too much energy.
I'm just going to sit back and be like, okay, you guys just talk for an hour.
Just plug Jake in.
Yes.
Not that takes much.
And be like,
and just let him go.
Yeah,
he'll run. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, super stoked about it.
So how long have you been doing what you're doing? Or what do you do, actually? Start from there. Who are you? What do you do?
Do you guys have a while? So
we
have actually...
time. We've got a podcast behind us that probably won't care. So
I started my career as an experiential marketer working for Vega. So I spent about 5 years working for Vega. Loved the brand. I was like the brand evangelist. I drove the branded Vega car. I was screaming their brand from the rooftops. I traveled around to every major retailer and set up pop-up shops. And these were pretty new at the time, 10 years ago. So we brought pop-up shops to any store that would have us. And I stood there blending smoothies, running a demo team, and every single person that walked into the grocery store, I'd say, have you tried Vega before? Yeah. And I just became known as the Vega Girl. That's and awesome. From there, I went on to work for a couple other major health food companies here in Canada. And then I kind of got the entrepreneurial bug to do my own thing. So I ended up going freelance and doing consulting for a lot of health food brands. And I started a podcast where I interview Canadian entrepreneurs, a lot of them in the health space.
Oh, very cool. How long have you been doing the podcast?
4.5 years. Oh, we're doing season 10 right now. So yeah, you guys have a few months extra.
Yeah, I would say literally, I think we're 5 years in.
But I think
November.
We're podcasting OGs, all of us. Yeah. Like, that was pretty early to the game, so.
Well, if we'd waited for me, we still wouldn't have had a podcast. So yeah, it was him. I don't even know.
You just show up and talk, right?
That's pretty much it. And then I just leave because I don't get it, right? I don't know what to do here. I have no interest in figuring out how to do this. I like the talking part.
The talking's fun. Yeah, the editing, the volumes. I'm like, I can't deal with this.
No. And the only reason I have equipment, my kids wanted to do a podcast. And since I bought all the equipment, I'm sure.
Kids these days,
I may as well use the equipment. That's it, though.
There's so many things you don't know, though, right? Because even when we were setting up, the guy was like, oh, you have the setting. I'm like, I don't know why that.
Yeah.
I click the button, and it works there. So I leave it there. And he was like, what? I was like, I don't. There's only so many things I can learn, right? So
yeah. I like to be a podcast host, not an audio engineer, is what I've realized. Yeah. But you got to do it all sometimes. And so you got to be willing to learn.
So how'd you end up podcasting? Like one day you just woke up and you decided what you wanted to do?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. So I was walking around downtown Toronto with a friend of mine, and she's a dreamer too. She's also a visionary. And I was saying, I really either want to start a podcast or a YouTube channel. And she looked at me and said, I think you should do a podcast. As if like I couldn't handle video. I'm like, what? Like, do I not have a face for video? Anyway, she was very adamant that podcasting is where you should start, Kelsey. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I guess I won't do a YouTube channel. So I just said, okay, fine. I'm going to put the bones of a podcast together. And I started reaching out to Canadian entrepreneurs saying, can I interview you? I don't really have a background in journalism, but I have this intense curiosity of how people either build businesses or get to where they are today or, navigate challenges. Yeah. So I started booking hour-long interviews with people. And at the end, they would just say, wow, you're really curious. That was a great interview. And I just kind of kept refining the craft. And so, I really just got started out of my own personal desire to add content to the space. I loved listening to podcasts, but I never quite heard anything that really hit home exactly the key messages that I wanted to hear as a budding entrepreneur and as someone who really wanted more behind the scenes. Like, talk to me real, unscripted. I want to know the things that are not the traditional interview questions.
I love
it. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, because it's very similar to what we do because we just like the story. I just like to know.
Exactly.
Like, it's usually why. Like, why did you, for a lot of times, why is usually the first question. Because, like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why do you choose retail? Because it's a slug. And CPG is another level of, wow, okay, really?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many other things you could do that are a hell of a lot easier than this. Mm-hmm. But I just love to hear why they did it, like, what motivated them. Like, we have had so many people on that have even changed careers. Like, they were, I don't know, in finance or something, and next thing you know, they're selling potato chips. Or people, like, why?
We had guests that gave up what they were doing to become grocery retailers, and those were like, no, you need to walk us through. We don't get that at all.
That one, I don't understand at all.
Yeah, I mean, I came from. I get. Like, why? What's
the stories are so compelling, right? Because it's interesting to see what drives people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't much in our space. To your point, there's not a lot to talk to really small business. I mean, they all talk to Coke and the Pepsis and, or they talk to the $1 billion sale, and that's, it's great, but that's one in a million.
Yeah.
Most are lucky to get through the first year.
Yeah.
How did you stick to it even in the early days when you were barely getting any downloads? Like, what drove you guys to want to continue to produce a weekly show when you might have only had 20 or 50 or 100 people downloading?
They just gave us a reason to talk to each other. I think we're just talking to each other.
Yeah. Love so, it. So you would do it even if there was nobody listening, right? Because you're just catching up.
Well, I think there was a lot of time where there was nobody listening. So we were definitely doing it for nobody listening. I'm sure that there was nobody listening.
Yep.
Maybe Linda Webb.
Yeah.
We had one person. Our original follower. But otherwise, I just think, honestly, what it was, a week of catch up.
Yeah.
Because we're the same thing. Today was about as close to scripted, because I don't know what it was. I was freaking out because I told him, I said, hey, what are we going to talk about? We have no idea today. I'm thinking, we've got to have something down. So I'm taking notes this morning and we're going through it. I'm like, I don't know, because usually we just We let you go. Like, whoever's on, just talk.
Yeah.
And where it goes, it goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just try to remember that, you know, we're not going to edit you out, so be careful what you say. But outside of that, it's just, I don't know.
Well, it's fun because this is just like free-flowing conversation, yeah. And there's probably going to be some really juicy nuggets that we couldn't have scripted into this.
Oh,
well, we hope.
We hope.
Or you make people laugh. Like I was telling Phil before, I was listening to your guys' podcast with the founder of an ice cream company.
Yeah.
And I was on the streetcar this morning laughing out loud.
Seriously?
And the fact that you have just sat down, recorded something where I am like physically like shaking of laughter because you guys are talking about like the dumplings you used to make with your parents in the kitchen. Anyways, I just think it's such a really cool craft to be able to record conversations and allow people to tune in if it interests them. Because these are the conversations that 5 years ago, I wish that I was having these with my friends, but I didn't have a lot of friends who were interested in growth and pursuing betterment every day and being okay with making transitions and pivots in our lives, like changing careers. Like I was the outsider for making such a pivot. Why would you leave a steady corporate job? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and nobody quite understood. So to tap into others who also, you know, can just explore what's possible in this lifetime is kind of cool.
I think that's what's the fun part is you can. I like the fact that you can hear what other people. It does it less gives it less makes it a little less freaky.
Yeah.
Right. To know that you're not the only one who's making decisions that are kind of.
Yep. You feel less alone,
out there,
right?
Right.
And even you know, I don't live in Toronto anymore, so I'm on the streetcar, and I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, it's kind of been lonely the past few days. But I also love connecting here. But I had you guys in my ear, making me feel less alone in a moment when I was on a streetcar for 45 minutes. So podcasting's
that's really
amazing.
Nice.
It is The early days are humbling though, right? Like you get 5 downloads, 8 downloads. You know 3 of them are you.
That's even worse.
IDs, you know?
Right. Well, I like grabbed my, I remember I grabbed my mom and dad's phone and I'm like, do you guys have the podcast app? Because I need a few subscribers. I'm like, subscribe. Yeah. 4 years later, I'm like, have you ever listened to an episode? And they're like, of what? Come on.
My mother-in-law says that every week. She goes, I saw you. You were talking to somebody. I'm like, yeah, because it's a podcast. I talk to somebody every week. And she's like, yeah, you were talking to somebody new. I'm like, yeah, because we talk to somebody
every
new.
Week.
You know what?
There's
okay,
a new one.
Don't worry about it. Just leave it, subscribe. And, you know, it's fun. But it's, no, it's cool. It's been a really fun ride.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like the fact you get to share some stories, right? Because when I was at London, I used to do, like a lot of stuff I did even with Sasha with the brand. I used to do that as our job, right? Because I liked brands and I liked when people came in and would tell their story. Yeah. And there was a lot of times, we said it before on the podcast, like you'd hear the story and you're thinking, like, you really shouldn't do this, right? Your idea is really neat and you know, I know you're super excited, but you are going to lose your house because you're just, it's not going to work. And you try to give people the reasons why. So even when we started this, was a lot of it. I told them, I said, what's nice is if we can give back, because I've made enough mistakes and lost enough money, that you just kind of go back and say, listen, you can do whatever you want. But from experience, like personal experience, this is what's potentially going to happen if you go down this path. It could be different for you. You know, nothing repeats twice necessarily. But I, that's what I think is kind of cool about this is the fact you can learn something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did not pursue school after I did a diploma. But after that, it was really YouTube University, Podcast University, and then just like sitting down with people like yourselves and really just like getting my questions answered from people who I respected, right? So although I didn't pursue a lot of formal education, I felt like I learned and am continuing to with all of these incredible social media outlets that we have and content marketing. Like there's an answer to everything if you use Spotify as a search engine or if you use Google as your search engine or YouTube or even Instagram these days. People are sharing every secret you could possibly want to know about how to build a food and bev brand, it's on LinkedIn. Like you just
somewhere
gotta go
out there, someone's willing to talk to.
And if you find that you're not getting an answer, you just got to ask somebody, do you know that could answer this question for me? And someone will always make a referral for you. So yeah, it's incredible how we can self-educate these days and truly learn a lot.
And you'll find different
free
industries do it better.
Yeah.
Like this space is actually really good.
It's
like,
so
I come
good
from the conventional side too. They ain't so good.
Yeah.
They don't like, first, they don't like talking.
They're still like lips and seals.
There's no, you know, like even walking shows. Like West Coast was a little different. We walked shows. Like when I was in London, like if we bumped into the Savon guys or nobody cared, right? We'd all be in the bar together.
Totally.
no trades, nothing we're going to tell each other is going to bankrupt the other company.
Yes.
But as soon as you go out to the East Coast guys, or, you know, Eastern people, nobody talked. Yeah, yeah. You didn't walk with the Shoppers guys. You didn't walk with the Rex. Like, nobody talked to each other.
Yeah.
But the natural health guys, it was just a shit show. Everybody's hugging everybody. Everybody's telling. And you're thinking, wow, you guys tell each other a lot.
It's amazing.
Like, your competitors, direct competitors, and they're still telling each other their little.
I love it. It's awesome.
There's
right?
so much business out there, right?
Mm-hmm. Very generous. And it's funny you say that too, because I found that over the last 5 years, the podcasting world has actually kind of been the opposite, where people, they don't want to tell their download numbers and they don't want to tell how much they're charging a show sponsor, and they don't want to say, you know, how many subscribers they have. And I'm like, why is it so secretive to figure out like all these nuances to running a successful podcast? But I think it is getting better. But yeah, you're right. It's beautiful to have this culture of collaboration where people are like, I'll tell you my best kept secrets because I know that even if you implement them, it's not going to go the same for you because you have your magic, you have your magic. So it worked for you, but you tell me it's not going to work for me because I need to put my own spin.
Well, you'll process it a different way than what I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might fall into a new trap that I never saw or never fell into, or you might just sail through it without a scratch.
Exactly.
Right? It really depends, right?
I don't really believe in keeping secrets so much around success. It's just too much work.
It's too tiring.
Yeah, and karma's got to come around, right? Exactly. You give someone something and it comes back to you.
Plus, I never remember what I've told people anyway, so it's better just...
That's good what you guys
do.
Sorry to interrupt. Is Universe going to be focused on bringing people together and
I know what you're saying.
Right.
Well, one thing you'll learn the longer you're in the business, in the longer in the industry, there's two different countries. Like, there are different countries. What you can do in Canada, you cannot do in the States, and vice versa. Like, first thing, when a lot of Americans come up, they do not grasp that we have six cities spread out over 4,000 miles. You've got Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa. I'm not to disclude the rest. There's nothing left. There's no size. You go to California, you got Canada. And you can put three Californias in BC. So you can't come to Canada with that mentality, right? So that's why it's very hard for us to bring American people in to talk about a Canadian market is really tough. What you should listen to sometimes is, what they've done maybe in Los Angeles might translate well to what you could do in the GTA.
Yeah.
Because even though the GTA is half the size, it's sort of that same mentality. But we do different things. Our listing fee structures are different. Our co-op's different. Our terms are different. We do a lot of direct business where the States is highly distributed. Like, there's layers in this. I don't know. I've never understood that. Like, we have less layers than they do, and yet we have greater distance. Like, you think it'd be the reverse, and yet the States runs on a whole different model. Like, brokers and distributors are everywhere. And here, we can go direct with an account, right? And sometimes it's more advantageous than going the other route, potentially, right? But it's just different.
It's also, quite simply, we've got a market that's just got amazing brands in it, amazing entrepreneurs. Like, look at how many new brands are out. You know, like, even from west to east, like, the brands that are out there, and they're all Canadian.
You make it in our country, man, you can do things anywhere. Because logistically, we're really, hard. Really large in space.
Easy, you know?
Two languages on a package, right? Americans don't realize. You figure that part out. You try throwing two languages and try to make them equal. We're in the States. Yeah. Well, if you hit vitamin bottles or small stuff, like, exactly. Yeah. You need, where are you going to put the booklet?
Yeah.
That's just to get the ingredient deck out. Like, then you got nutritional panels that are half the size of a package. You know, in the States, you can just—it's a different game. So if you can do it up here, I mean, I think realistically, as long as you understand the nuances of the country you're going to, you can do it anywhere. Like, Canadians are really, really, when you're good up here, like, you're good. Like, I think you are, for sure. And we are a different game. Our retail is a whole different beast than it is in the States. So you should listen, but I'm like you. I try to pick and choose. Like, because, some of it, like, I don't really care what Pepsi's doing. I don't really care what Coke's doing.
Yeah,
yay team. Yeah. But really? I'm more interested to see what you're going to do next, right?
But could be the future exit strategy.
Potentially, yeah, 100%, potentially.
Because they're looking for stuff like
yeah.
this. They don't have that infrastructure.
Right.
They know this thing.
They're not innovators.
5 years, 10 years. This is, we're at the forefront of this.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And they know that if they don't
for sure.
You're in so much trouble. You're in so much trouble. We're just laughing because the big squares
guys. Oh, you can bring them in. I don't care.
They're
what the
peeking
hell?
Through the windows. They're already waving and jumping up and down.
The thing is I worry about, or things like we've talked about too, is I think what people got to be careful with, especially small, is you go into this because you actually like what you're doing. You like your snack, and you want other people to enjoy your snack. That is a much different approach to going into business than I'm going to get this and I'm going to do a Charles and I'm going to get $600 million for my business. Mm-hmm. That's two different mentalities. And one is really difficult to do. There's not a lot of Charles Changs or Mike Fatta who's outside. There's not a lot of small business. I mean, you hear about them. But they are literally one in a million pumps, right?
But that's also not where he started, right?
No, because Charles and Brandon started. Well, one started because he was running the marathons and wanted to use a vegetable base.
It's different, 100%. Right? Like when you get there to the end and then you have someone who shows up and goes, listen, I've got a really big bank account. I'd like to buy it. It's a totally different story, but you do get founders now that get seduced by that, right? Like
they get into it going,
oh, I'm going to get, you know, you...
I got 100 million. Right? Like, I should be able to get at least 50.
The minute that you walk away from the passion and you're just making it, it's just a product, right? Like, you know, it's not the right thing, right? You got to chase what you love. And then at the end, what you love, it's going to pay out one way or another, right?
Like, now, unless you can tell me how you're retiring on this, because I definitely want to know how you're doing it.
Retiring on podcasting?
Yeah, because I want to know that part. Yeah.
Now accepting sponsors.
She just told our listeners that we're accepting sponsors.
Oh, yeah, we're accepting sponsors. Thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah. Just do, how about $500 for 1 month of ad reads? So you do a 60-second ad read for a particular brand, and you do it pre-roll, so it airs before you get into your conversation, or mid-roll. And hey, if that's a well-crafted ad, you're going to get a lot of click-throughs from the show notes. Mm-hmm. You're going to put them in your show notes. So there's going to be backlinks mm-hmm. to that brand's website. Mm-hmm. You're going to shout them out on your email newsletter. For $500, that is a steal for any brand. And then, you know, as you get more sponsors requesting to be part of the show, double the prices.
Was that free or are we paying for that?
Yeah.
Did we just pay for that?
Or was that a freebie?
You know what? I'm going to help you guys get your first sponsor. I have the whole deck created. I know what packages sell really well. And there's no reason why you shouldn't. Yeah. I mean, you put so much time and energy into this show.
Yeah, I'm not now. I can't take your money now. That's not nice.
No, do it. Do it.
No, we're still trying. I feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
We'll take Kyle's money.
Again, you guys put a lot of effort into this.
Okay, if you work that out, if you get him to pay out, you can be our sponsor. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny though, when we started the podcast, I think the first and foremost, because every week we get to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. So that sort of started it. And we really like this industry. Like I really love retail. Yeah, I love CPG. I can't seem to get out of it as, you know, I'm back into it on another level. But I like the space. But we never really thought of making this into, I mean, I guess ultimately we were probably thinking there was a monetary play somehow, but it wasn't like the driver to do this. I mean, I guess if we made some, but 5 years in, we still haven't, we're really not that bright. That's really what it seems to be coming
You're not
down
seeing
to.
Your full potential of what this podcast could become.
Here, like seriously.
I'm going to follow Kelsey on this. I like it.
Yeah, and you've proven yourself. It's not like you got into this for the money, but now that you've been doing it for 5 years, I think you've built up enough clout and enough street cred that there are brands that want to be part of your show. So invite them. Or you've probably had at least one or two people reach out saying, do you accept sponsors? But
I've kind of always backed away and thought, I don't know. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
But the intent was to do that. I guess that's Like, that's sort of what the point is, Kyle. I guess when we started this, it wasn't to do it as a pay by hour service. Yes, I consult on that's my livelihood, and that's his too. So definitively I do that. But it was really because when I was a buyer, I had the opportunity to potentially help or really and truly destroy small companies, right? Yeah. Because, we were retail. We had listing fees. We had co-op. Like, I knew all the pitfalls that, a Sasha would come to me. And he'd come. He'd be all excited walking out with a PO, sort of like to the Walmart idea of the PO. But nobody did the math. I mean, I did my math. I knew what I was going to be good for, but I knew the person on the other side did not do the math and did not know what they were getting themselves into, which was really, a pit of – it's a deep pit. Like, retailers are retailers. I mean, it's not a – it's an expensive gig, right? So for us, it was never about that. It was to try to help do that. But I guess, to Kelsey's point, maybe there's a time.
That's very kind of you. Yeah.
I know. It still seems funny to
you
do.
You guys are amazing. You're now talking us into helping us make money.
My wife might actually finally listen to this podcast because it'll be bringing something into the house.
Put it this way. It's actually a disservice for you not to run ads because when I listen to podcasts, I listen to the host and I want to know, what mattress are you sleeping on? What's your skincare? What new food brands are you up on? So if I listen to your show and you're interviewing,
know what skincare we're using?
Yes, I do.
I want you
to vet your favorite brands that you've ever interviewed. And when I listen to any of your shows, I want you to read an ad saying, "Have you guys tried, Midday Squares or this popcorn company? Mm. We are obsessed with them. Their founders are so great. Next time you see them, go try their chocolate."
That. We just don't charge for it.
Which is amazing. I love how big your heart is, but
but we can do our own ads, right? I don't have to do a scripted ad.
No, and
I want to be like Bill Burr. I want to just do maybe not that offensively, but I want to do my own.
Yeah, and most companies these days, they don't want you to read off a script. They just want you to hit on three key bullet points, like make sure you say there's 30 grams of plant-based protein. Yeah. Tell a story around it. We don't care, but you have to say 30 grams of plant-based protein.
Okay, three little notes I can do.
That's
read.
It.
It's not going to happen.
There you go. You guys are influencers.
How much stuff we buy? We do the same thing.
I love it.
Seriously, I get off the pot. Well, he's usually not paying attention. He's usually on a web page ordering. I can't do two things at once. I have to
35 minutes in then. Right? The website ordering.
I can't do that because then I get distracted, right? Because I just go down a – who knows where I end up, right? So it's going to be a mess. So I can't do that. But later I'm buying – we bring so much stuff into the house.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's because the story's cool.
It's cool.
And then you want to support it because, they're just starting out. Sure, what the hell.
Totally. I'm the same way. But I like getting recommendations too, and I believe you should be compensated for those recommendations.
We love you, Kelsey.
We're loving you.
We're loving you guys.
Jeez, we need help apparently too.
Call me.
We're all over it.
We're going to end here because folks are going to lose their minds outside. So we're gonna end here. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, thanks for sticking around. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wow.
Talk to our agent.
Yeah, just talk to the boss, whatever she thinks is right. It's either that or that was comped like the rest of them and whatever.
Awesome.
I'll get off that train one of these days.
Awesome.
One of these days.
Guys.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. Thanks for doing it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me up.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll come out.